When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did well. And there's some stories I can tell you.
This is the Final Word World Cup Daily, Day 3, Part 2, South Africa versus Sri Lanka, with Jeff Lemon and Bharat Sundaresan for Westfield, London. More Extra, Less Ordinary, coming to you from the city of Chennai. That's right. You didn't know that we were going to be here. We didn't know for sure that the Final Word would make it to India, but we have made it to India, and here we are. We're in Chennai, a place dear to your heart.
Very dear to my heart. This is where I went from addict to journalist, just down that road. So welcome to Chennai, Jeff Lemon.
Well, we've got to start things as we do here on the Final Word with a 30-second summary. A wicket early, Bavuma was out, but then things got a lot better from there. 204-run partnership between Rassie van der Dussen and, well, not Aidan Markram, because he came in next. I've completely blanked on who he was.
Quinton de Kock,
of course. This is going really well for a 30-second summary. They powered things on, and then the fastest World Cup ton for Markram. South Africa made 428, and then Sri Lanka, well, they gave it a good shake, 326 by the time they were all out. Kusal Mendes did some crazy stuff off the top. Dasan Shanaker at the end. But we'll come back to all of that in more detail now, because I've blown through. But I'm on about 43 seconds by now.
No, I think you were basically the Quinton de Kock and Rassie van der Dussen partnership. 204, not bad, but nothing compared to what happened after that. It was a game of two halves, you're right. And not two halves in terms of two innings.
About four halves.
Yeah, true. You're right. I mean, it was a crazy game. For me, it was a representation of where one-day cricket is headed, or maybe where it is already. Like, it doesn't happen always, but there are some times when you watch 150-over cricket these days, it feels like T50, less an extension of T20 cricket, and today was the perfect example. Having said that, yes, you're right, Temba Bavuma gets out early, and Quinton de Kock and Rassie van der Dussen, we were watching it on the telly here, it didn't feel like they were doing anything extraordinary. It just felt like a dominant performance from a team against a weakened attack. Sri Lanka missing a lot of their key bowlers, but then they both get to their 100s. That's when the show begins. The Markram madness, and then the big finish from South Africa, yeah, and just the madness of Sri Lanka.
Well, it wasn't quite dominant early, because so Bavuma gets out, then the next four deliveries all go for four, yeah, across a couple of overs. But then Madashankar and Kasun Rajita actually brought it back pretty well through the rest of the power play. So there were only 48 runs off the first 10 overs, including that flurry of boundaries after a couple in the first over too that Bavuma struck. And you're thinking, okay, they pulled it back quite nicely here. They bring Dhananjaya de Silva on once the fielders are allowed out to bowl some spin, who immediately goes for 4-4-6, and suddenly they're away. And it's not like van der Dussen and de Kock were just madly attacking everything. It was just, it just looked so easy. They were just particularly going after the spin. Balalage got targeted as well, but there was at least a boundary every over. It was at least so it seemed, and they cruised up to 200 without seeming to have any trouble at all.
And that's why this South African team is way more dangerous than a lot of people have given them credit for. We saw what they can do against Australia. And those two or three games where they really powered on, this is what they did. The top order, the first 30 to 35 overs, they're still scoring at a fair rate, but without taking any risks. But then they just opened the door for the likes of Markram and Hendrik Claassen and David Miller and Marco Jansen, who started hitting some really big sixes. And that's exactly what happened today. So watch out, rest of the world. Yes, you can say, oh, the pitch was flat, and Sri Lanka, like I said earlier, didn't have some of their key bowlers. There's no Hasaranga, for example. But this is the gear that South Africa have found in their one-day cricket, and this is going to, they're going to target every team like that. So if they get that top order partnership going, whether it's Bavuma or Quinton de Kock, and Quinton de Kock, like, let's not take anything away from him, he was still scoring at a strike rate of over 120. It's just that it paled in comparison to what happened later on, and just, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about the numbers, and most of those numbers, to just kind of put them into context, you have to go all the way back to 1996, when Sri Lanka were thrashing Kenya around in that, at that point, seemed like a very famous match, but seemed seemed like an aberration when they made 398.
Sure. And well, what seems like an aberration is that if I'd put to you at the start of this match, or at the start of this tournament, who in this tournament is going to break Kevin O'Brien's record for the fastest World Cup ton? Who's going to get 100 in fewer than 50 deliveries? How far down the list would Aidan Markram have been? Like, he's a stroke player. And this, he made that half century, yeah. That 50, it was a half century of deliveries, 49 balls to bring it up. He made it as a stroke player. He started off with a couple of beautiful drives down the ground, off drive, on drive, played the pull shot well when the time came. But for the most part, yeah, he lofted some drives, but he wasn't doing anything particularly funky. He eventually played one sort of scoop, switch, over deep third sort of situation much later into the innings. Yeah. But for the most part, he was just driving it down the ground and occasionally over cover and a little bit over the leg side and looking every inch like Aidan Markram. He just happened to do so at a prodigious rate.
Yeah, for me, Aidan Markram is the perfect representation of what happens when a highly successful or highly talented test batter suddenly says, you know what, I have the skills to be successful as a batter across formats. Let me develop my wide ball skills and let's see what happens. And that's exactly what we're seeing from him. We've seen that from the likes of Shubman Gill, though, who was much younger than Markram at this stage. But that's what Markram is. Mm-hmm. You remember, go back to 2014-15 when he broke onto the scene. He had the lovely shots, very elegant batter. Then he added the power game. He put on some muscle. We've seen what he can do in T20 cricket. He was an IPL captain this year as well. And though he didn't fire consistently, whenever he did, this is what he did. He could tear bowling apart, bowling attacks apart, a bit like even someone like KL Rahul for that matter. And that's the role he's playing. KL Rahul in the middle order for India, Aidan Markram for South Africa. He did it in South African conditions against Australia. But that's the thing, he can hit the good ball for four, but if it's even slightly off, he just hits it over the top and he's got that power game now. And then alongside Heinrich Klaassen, that is such a dangerous middle order. And it just, I'm just so excited about the South African team as it can make out.
Well, Adam and I were talking about this on the preview show. We're like, maybe they're actually really good. Like maybe they could just win this, particularly if they don't have to go past number seven in the batting order. Yeah. And it all worked perfectly today. So each century maker, all three of them, get out just after they reach their 100. But that allows the next hitter to come in. So Klaassen makes a quick 32. David Miller doesn't come in until the 43rd over, and he still has time to make 39 not out. Three sixes off the last over of the innings. Jansen comes in and hits one as well. And then there's this bizarre start to Sri Lanka's innings where, okay, so it's a maiden to start, and Ngidi concedes one leg by off the first over. And then Marco Jansen bowls an absolute perler of a delivery that swings in, that classic left-armer thing, rattles the pegs. And so there's a wicket from the seventh ball of the match. There's a couple of runs from that over. The follow-up delivery almost gets Kusal Mendes out, LBW as well. So at the end of two overs, they're 3-for-1. And as in three runs, one wicket, two overs. And then by the end of the power play, they've got nearly 100 on the board because Kusal Mendes just goes absolutely bonkers. Like, again, scorches a couple of nice drives along the ground first and then just starts playing these pickup shots, stepping to the leg side and flipping them over deep backward square leg a la Surya Kamayadov, and just nailing them. He hit eight sixes in his innings, but he hit five of them in the space of 10 balls.
As special a player as Kusal Mendes is, what we saw from him today was basically what would happen if Surya Kumar Yadav and Romesh Kalvitarana had a baby together, and that would be Kusal Mendes. Mm. You're right. I mean, the scoop shots that he was playing against some of the biggest, baddest fast bowlers in the world, in Rabada, in Jansen, like you said, was swinging the ball. He was given out, and it was 1-for-2, and he thankfully, for Sri Lanka's sake and in a way our sake, he reviewed the decision and it was reversed. But yeah, some of those shots he played, it's just not just timing, it's about when he times his movement. And he's a class player as well. We've seen that over so many years. But just the rate at which he was scoring, while there was no scoring happening from the other end, he made 72% of the runs by the time he got out?
Well, okay. I can tell you one thing. He made, at the point where Kusal Janath Pereira scored his first run, before that point, they were 1-for-54 at that stage. Mendes had scored 51 of the runs, and there were three extras. So there'd been one duck dismissed and one player on naught who was almost caught off that ball, who spooned that ball up in the air and then managed to scramble a single. So had he been caught, then who knows how long it would have been before anybody else scored a run. But yeah, he scored 100% of the team's runs off the bat in the 50 partnership that came up. It's hard to know what to make of it. Starts off with that big sort of slashed six over deep backward point, but then the next over, three sixes off Ngidi, and then a couple more off Jansen was at the over to follow that. And he gets up to, 74 off 44 deliveries thereabouts, and then gets out. And you're like, okay, well, now they're going to fall in a heap, except that didn't really happen either.
And the bizarreness of this, or the whole Kusal Mendes innings and the Sri Lankan innings is, or the first half of the innings is, you look at those numbers, and if you're just listening to us talk about this Mendes innings, you might be mistaken that this was a flat pitch, a low bounce pitch, where he was just getting into position and whacking the fastballers away. The fact that Marco Jansen was getting guys bowled with this booming in swingers, the fact that even Kusal Mendes got out to a delivery, the dismissal could easily have happened at the GABA. I mean, if you didn't tell anyone where this game is being played, it hit the splice of his bat and he was caught behind. It was just sensational hitting on a pitch with a lot of bounce, and the big, tall South African fast bowlers were getting the ball to go through. I thought they used the bouncer really well. I mean, there were a few no balls here and there, but they were going hard at the Sri Lankans, but somehow Kusal Mendes, and just in terms of height as well, right? It's a perfect Rey Mysterio versus Great Khali contest. You know, I had to throw a wrestling reference in. There's this classic photo of the two, and this was exactly that, Mendes versus those guys.
Uh-huh. So there are 111 off 13 overs when Kusal Mendes gets out. To a ball that bounces a little more, he flashes at it. His balance wasn't there. It was like he was caught between front foot and back foot. So flashed at it, gets a thick edge high to the wicketkeeper's right, which is taken by Klaassen, and you know, that's the end of it. And then Sama Vikrama is out a few deliveries later to Gerald Coetzee, leading edge, goes away to mid-on. And then Asalanka just comes out and goes, well, it looked pretty good when Kusal Mendes did it, so I think I'll do something similar.
I just have a thing for Charit Asalanka's batting. You know, he was under-19 skipper. He's been touted to be the next leader of Sri Lankan cricket. I saw a lot of him last year in that one-day series against Australia live in Colombo. And he's an old school. There's a mixture of, again, I spoke about Suryakumar Yadav and Romesh Kalutarana. Here, like, it's just a bit of Asanka Gurusinna. There's a bit of Arjuna Ranatunga. There's a bit of Robin Singh also somehow in that. And his power, he's got a strong base. He's got a big bottom in a good way. And he uses that. And he uses that to, like, just create that power through the hips and hits a lot of balls over the onside. But he's a class batter. I mean, I'm disappointed that we haven't seen the best of Asalanka and all formats, but already in the last 6 months or so, he's proved that he can be as destructive as anyone else. And when Asalanka's batting, I'm always watching. He's in my top three batters to watch out for in the next 10 years. And he proved that today. And like you said, while he was batting, yes, Sri Lanka never looked like they were going to go all the way. The required rate was 10 and over. But it almost felt like he'd taken the scoreboard out of the equation. It was just attacking batting, and it was setting themselves up beautifully for the rest of the tournament.
Well, it was a bit of contrast as well, because as Dhananjaya de Silva was out cheaply, caught at backward point, and then Dustin Shanaker came in, the captain, who's been struggling for runs. But at this point, net run rate starts to become a factor, right? Because they're five down, and it's like, well, if you get bowled out in 25, 30 overs here, and you have 250 behind, then you're going to get absolutely slaughtered on net run rate. So it felt like Shanaker, maybe under instruction, was told, just take it easy out there and just play sensibly and try to bat as long as you can through the innings. And Asalanka had the freedom to keep going, which he did, gets up to 76 that he made in the end. And then when he gets out, Dustin Shanaker is able to just start lifting the tempo a bit. He eventually goes on to a half century of his own, makes 68, gets his innings up to faster than a runner ball. I mean, at the start, he had, three or four runs off his first 15 deliveries, was really struggling to get it off the square. He hits a big bomb down the ground, strikes some nice boundaries. That felt really important just for his confidence as well, to get some runs into the captain. And then Kusal Mendes down the order starts throwing the bat around. Big hook shot for six. Smokes a few fours, backing away over the offside. And suddenly they're well past 300.
And yeah, and I thought the best call of the day was when they were bowled out. And Ian Smith says, Sri Lanka have been bowled out for 326, a comfortable victory for South Africa. If that doesn't sum up what this game was, nothing will. But you're right. I mean, I think Dasun Chanakar, what coming into the World Cup, the last international game that Sri Lanka played, don't forget, they were rolled out for 50 in the Asia Cup final. The last ODI game that South Africa played at this venue, they were rolled out for 99 last year. So both teams really redeemed themselves in that sense. Mm-hmm. But you're right, there was talk of Chanakar being removed as captain as well before this World Cup. It is Sri Lankan cricket. Crazy things happen at the last minute. But he needed a performance like that. He obviously was in no control of proceedings as captain on the field. Don't forget, at one point, they were 3-4 overshot. That first innings went on. Not only was it the highest total ever in a World Cup.
The longest total.
Longest as well. Like, yeah, they were 20-25 minutes long. Yeah. To the extent we were kicked out of the press box, just to put it into context. But yeah, I mean, he had no control. So he needed an innings like that, even though it didn't really add much value overall, to just feel good about himself going ahead in the tournament.
Let us go now to the final word, Hall of Fame.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Hall of Fame, where we pick the most final word moments of the day. It's brought to you by Westfield London. It's very hot and very humid on this roof in Chennai. We're sweating up a storm here, but I'm told if you go to the Northern Hemisphere, you can rediscover the magic of the festive season as you glide around Europe's tallest Christmas tree at the ice rink at Westfield London. Who knew they had an ice rink? I did not know that. I'm literally finding that out right now. Whether you're as comfortable on the ice as the West Coast Eagles 20 years ago, or you've never skated before, that's a reference you won't get. It's fine. It's perfect festive as an occasion on a day. It's a perfect festive day, night, day or night out. I'm really, really nailing this. Absolutely.
It's the ultra jet lag, as we say.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I have been less than 24 hours in this country. Google Ice Rink Westfield. That's the easiest way to find it. Just pop that into Michael Google and see what he comes up with to book your tickets to glide around on the ice. Westfield London, more extra, less ordinary. Well, I already mentioned the partnership, the fact that the first non-Kusal Mendes run off the bat was in the seventh over. The seventh over of the innings, and they still made 320-odd, was extraordinary. Well, a word for the South Africans, who just didn't go on with it. Out for 100, Quinton de Kock. Out for 108, Rassie van der Dussen. Out for 106, Aidan Markram. Didn't want it enough. Why don't you want it enough? Where's the pride in the badge? Where's the... You know, I could carry on, but... What, have you got anything, Hall of Fame?
Karsten Rajitha's six, in the end. The no-look hook shot. Like, you know, people talk about the no-look sixes that some of these big hitters hit. But Karsten Rajitha had he was facing backward point, but he somehow managed to hook a ball. And it went a long way as well. That six really stood out for me. Maybe the shot of the match, shot of the tournament so far. But also, I don't know what you made of that painting. Like, while all this madness was happening, there was a man in the stand at the Firosha Kotla who made this painting, which eventually looked like there was a batter getting stumped in the air. I had no idea. I thought you would paint someone hitting a six, because we saw a lot of sixes, and just on the numbers, most boundaries ever hit since that crazy game, Sri Lanka against Kenya, way back when at Kandy, 1996, 398. And this wasn't the first time a team made 400 in a World Cup, don't forget. But somehow this game, what, most number of runs ever scored in an ODI?
Most runs ever in a World Cup match, 756, I reckon that would be, was scored in the end in that game. So, and it, well, if you're talking about stumpings, the Asalanka almost stumping, that's got to be one of the largest margins I've ever seen someone miss a ball by in order to nearly be stumped. From the left-arm orthodox spinner, Maharaj, by the way, the ball was turning the way it was supposed to turn. It was already wide of him. He tried to hit it to leg side when it was about a foot away from him, and then it turned another foot away from him, and he almost got himself stumped there, your favourite. You mentioned Rajitha and his six. I like the bit where he hooked... He sort of flat batted that four down the ground so hard that he did not just a complete turn, but another half turn. He did a 540, did a Tony Hawk trick, and almost dislocated his shoulder. He had to get the medical staff to come out and pop his shoulder back in, I'm pretty sure. That is how you hit a cricket ball. Spin, keep spinning, and then get the green whistle to come out and sort you out. The Gerald Curtsey celebration when he took the wicket. So, okay, fine. You get Kusal Mendes out when he's got 74 off 42 balls. Fine, Marco Jansen's a bit pumped up at that point. Like, give it a bit of a ride. Good, great. A few balls later, you get the next wicket, and mate, they're 300 runs behind at this point. Gave it the big ones, Gerald Curtsey. I wasn't sure if that entirely warranted that one. And what else? Oh, the last bit, Asalanka hitting a ball down the race that crashed into an ambulance.
Oh yeah.
That's always been my preferred definition of irony. We all know that the Alanis Morissette song doesn't actually contain any definitions of irony. None of they're coincidence and they're annoying, but they're not ironic. Being hit by an ambulance, being run over by an ambulance has always been my go-to definition of irony. But he went the other way. He wasn't hit by the ambulance. He hit the ambulance.
He attacked the ambulance, didn't he? Yeah. I mean, I don't think what has happened today has transpired today has sunk in yet, Jeff Lemon. Not just for us, even for you guys watching. I think the more and more highlights we watch of this game, unless there are more crazy games up in store, I'm sure there are, we'll find so many more Hall of Fame moments. Maybe that's a practice we should follow over the next couple of weeks. Yes, we'll talk about what's happening on a daily basis, but we should keep going back to this game and finding more Hall of Fame moments because there are a lot of hidden gems in there.
What would Charith Asalanka do? That will be our guiding motto for the rest of this tournament. This has been The Final Word, World Cup Daily, Day 3, Part 2. Jeff Lemon, Bharat Sundaresan. The show is brought to you by Westfield London. More extra, less ordinary. Thanks to them. Thanks to you for watching. And if you want to support what we do, patreon.com/thefinalword. We'll see you tomorrow. And I ain't George Benson. I ain't protected, brother. I ain't fenced. And if my future question my current senses, that'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran into empty. Wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go.